Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
Lord, you're worthy. How we praise you. Let the church rejoice and love him. Let the church praise from the depths of their heart. Let the church rejoice. Praise him. God, you're good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, make your hands an instrument now and pray. Brooke, I want you to come help me real quick. Y'all can be seated just for a minute. Y'all can do whatever you want to do up there. Wayne represents God the Father. Not because he's as old as God. Wayne is Mr. Spiffy. He always dresses to kill. He is. This morning, you're God. Jeremy, you represent the Son, Jesus Christ. The first begotten of the dead. Ever raised to life to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Ever interceding for all of us today. You represent the way, the truth, and the life. There is no force, no enemy. Though he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give you life more than that. But now, Brooke represents the Holy Ghost. Now, for some of you that are already getting bent out of shape, saying that the Holy Ghost is what's the term I'm looking for? That he, man, gender, you know, he's connected. This is my story right now, okay? You represent the Holy Ghost. And I believe this. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that a woman can stand behind the pulpit and preach the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I believe she's called to share the good news just like us guys are called to share the good news. But let me say this too. I believe that a woman just like a man can stand behind the pulpit and not be anointed of God. And I want you to lift your hands over this section right here. Just do what you're doing. Just pray over. Hey. Just intercede for them this morning. Praise the Lord. Come over here. I want you to do this. I'll tell you what's up. Pray over this section. Listen. By the time we get to Acts chapter 13, there are some things that have been happening. There's been an upper room experience. There's been the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've seen lame men walk. We've seen those in the church, Ananias and Sapphira, that were not really of the anointing and the power of God. They've been removed. They've been cast to the side. God has dealt with them. We are seeing nations come to Jesus. We're seeing men and women turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ, primarily within Jerusalem, primarily under the Jewish church. But it is that in Acts chapter 13, God begins to change the atmosphere. He gets ready to send Paul and Barnabas on Paul's first missionary journey. Now he's not just working locally, but he's reaching out and he's reaching beyond. Come with me right over here. I want you to come over here. Now I want you to just lift your hands and pray over this group right here. God started to turn some things. The Holy Spirit's beginning to do a different work. He's beginning to turn the page. He's setting the people up for some things from God that they have not ever. Now, right over here. Come over here and pray over this group right here. The Holy Ghost is brooding. The Holy Ghost is moving. He's setting the church up for one step after the other. There's one wave of glory moving from one side to the other. the Holy Ghost is now working a work. The Father sits on the throne. Jesus has paid the price, but now the Holy Ghost has been sent, and the authority and the anointing and the supernatural of a mighty God is at work in this earth. And I'm telling you, He's at work here today. Listen. Listen, we can do this all day. Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to get five people and take them to Jesus. And while you do that, I'm going to get five people and take them to Jesus. Go, 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 go. Somebody help. Lonnie, come help me again. Get to Jesus as fast as you can. Go. Come on, Eric. Come help. Nancy? Nancy, go help. Come on, Terry. We can shout and stammer and hammer all day long and dance around the throne all day long and worship and get close to Jesus. But at some point, the Holy Ghost has to touch our life, and we have to realize we've got to get out there, and we've got to find some people, and we've got to start bringing them to Jesus Christ as quickly as somebody praise Him. God, let everybody stand and give the Lord praise today. Lift your hands and thank you. Listen, Kelly will tell you I don't do this much. Not very often. Three or four times in my life. But I felt like God gave me a vision early this morning that if we will do this, we won't hold the people. We've got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Hey, praise the Lord. You guys can do whatever you feel like. Listen. Lift your hands and praise Him today. God, You're worthy. God, You're good. I want a fresh wind. I want a fresh move, God. But I want to see people born into the kingdom. I want to see people know Jesus. I want to see people discipled. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's here today, and He cares. Listen. You guys can be seated. Thank you. Listen. You can be seated. When we get to Acts chapter 13, God is doing some incredible things. He will quickly manifest Himself in a dynamic way in this 13th chapter on the island of Cyprus. Paul and Barnabas are sent. But I noticed something this week that I've never paid a lot of attention to, close attention to. And it's in this second or third verse of chapter 13, that we understand the church is being launched. The church is moving through Jerusalem, moving through Samaria, and moving into the uttermost parts of the world, moving in Damascus, moving in Jews, moving in Gentiles. Please pay close attention today. Moving in the undeniable power of the Holy Spirit. Moving in miracles and moving in wonders. Moving lame men to walk, as I said. Moving Ananias and Sapphira and that spirit out of the way. Moving sorcerers to be saved. And now in Antioch of Palestine, Antioch in Syria, the Holy Ghost is moving fully upon Barnabas and Paul. And the Holy Ghost speaks, and the Holy Ghost sends. Say that with me. The Holy Ghost speaks, and the Holy Ghost sends. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same. Speaks and sins. We have so limited the work of the Holy Spirit. We have called him an it. I received it. I got it. And I know we do that in innocence. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Why God or why they chose, I don't know why that. I just know that he represents the Spirit of God on earth. But he is living and he is right now. And he is current. And he is moving in that church. And he is still moving in his church. Amen. And you don't get to define his church. And I don't get to define his church. But this word defines his church. It is uncanny what God is doing in Antioch. It is a setup for God to show up. Paul and Barnabas will wind their way through. This is the first of at least two Antiochs. There is also an Antioch in southern Turkey. And during this trip to the island of Cyprus and Patmos there and on and up, they will wind their way through a second Antioch. And God is preparing them to stretch the borders of the church. But in this room where they are, in Antioch, before they launch, God is doing something that is uncanny. And in this room, the Holy Spirit is present. And I want you to see what he is doing through, listen, hear me, what God. If you have an argument with me, you can come talk to me. I'm easy. Easy peasy. We'll talk. But God is working. And God is working through great diversity. He is not working through great division. He is working through building up his church and not tearing down his people. Remember that. We are all different, and that is okay. The church has never been a place. The church is a redeemed people of the Lord. And Barnabas is there, and if you know anything about Barnabas, he is from Cyprus. He is from the first city that himself and Paul will make this missionary journey to and do the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. He is from Cyprus. He has an inroad. He is familiar with some people. He's the local boy. He's got some connections. And sometimes just because someone's been somewhere a while and they're the local boy, well, they must be sluggish and they must be stale. And they just want the same old thing. I came to tell you that Barnabas is from Cyprus. But more importantly, he is anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and God has sent him a work to do. Okay. Yeah. He has a connection. They begin there. Simon, or Simeon, called Niger, which means dark. He is from Africa. And Niger is there. Some believe that this Simeon is the same Simeon that carried the cross of Jesus as he fell beneath the weight. But not only is Simeon there, Simeon called Niger, but there is one there called Lucius. And he is from present-day Libya Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Africa, Libya, dark, white, dark, light. What? God is setting His church up. He's giving us an example. When you begin to move, if we are willing to move beyond these doors, we must be willing to accept who God sends us to. And so Simeon is there. Lucius is there. Some think that he was Luke himself. I don't know about all of that, but now it gets interesting. And it is very important that we pay attention to things that happen before they happen. These are five intensely diverse men. There is no discrimination at all working in this room. There is no discrimination whatsoever at Antioch. God has a call and God has a plan upon their lives. They are from diverse backgrounds and places. And God is giving us a very intentional picture. It is the first missionary journey. It is the first prep in the winning of the world to Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? Manaen is there, and Manaen is vital. I'm not planning to preach this today. Manaen is there, and he is vital. That is a Jewish name. God specifically in his word, look closely, he tells us that he is raised in the same era, near the same household, as a part of the household of Herod Antipas. Now, I think that it's more than ironic how strange it is that they are from the same household. The translation for Manaen actually is, he is the foster brother of Herod Antipas. What does Herod Antipas do? Herod Antipas is the one who will kill John the Baptist. Herod Antipas is the one who reigns when Jesus is taken to trial. And so the question is, how can one kill John the Baptist and one that comes up under the same influences be saved and now serve the community and serve the church of the living God? I want to remind some of this, one person in this house at least today. You need to be reminded about a choice you're about to make. That choices are important. Don't take your choices for granted. Understand that whether you are a teen or a tot or you've been around for a little while, that what you choose to do is between you and God. It's up to you and God, but God is watching and your choices are important. So one is raised to kill Christians, one is raised to serve, understands what it is to serve the church. There are some powerful testimonies in this room, and there are some powerful testimonies in this room. Turn to someone and tell them God has brought me a mighty long way. There's some folks today, when you were 15, you never dreamed you'd show up in a Pentecostal church. You never dreamed you'd be sitting beside shouters and praisers and worshipers that magnify God unreservedly. There are some different people in the room. And oh, by the way, Paul is in the room. As a Roman, he is illegal. As a Greek, he is cultural. As a Jew, he is religious. As a Christian, he is an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Paul has some connections. He is trained as a rabbi. His mom and dad called him Saul at birth. On the ninth day of his life, he is called Paul. His name was not transitioned simply because he had an experience on the Damascus Road. Saul was his given name by his mom and dad to honor the first king of Israel. He's got connections to the Jews. But Paul is the name given that opens the door to Greek influence and to Gentile possibilities. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you today, I'm speaking to someone. You think I don't speak well, I don't sing well, I don't do this well, I don't do that well, my schedule doesn't cooperate, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that. But God's hand is on your life, and He's connecting bridges, He's connecting opportunities. And if you'll let Him use you, Saul, Paul, whoever you may be, God has a plan for your life. There's a lot happening in this room. I got excited because Paul is going to call a man out for the way that he lives and causes him to be blind for 3 days. I got excited. Some of us, we get more excited about the hurt than we do the help. If you don't worship like I worship, something's wrong with you. Pastor, if you just preach a little bit more like Toby Morgan, I'd be real happy. I'm not Toby. A little more like Martin Taylor, a little more like Victor, and all the others in between. I don't know what to do, but just what I feel like God tells me to do. I'm trying to do my best. And I know this, and if we come from the east, the west, the north, or the south, wherever we may be, whatever our background, God is on our side, and He has a call on our lives. You don't think God knows exactly what He's doing? That God measures and orders our steps? That there's divine order to how and what and when He moves us forward? I still believe that the Holy Ghost has a voice in how the church moves. And if we don't let His voice speak, the church will never, ever move forward. His voice is a unique voice. His voice is an authentic voice. It is unusual, Jeremy, but yet it is recognizable. Hey, I'm thankful today that I know when the Holy Ghost speaks, amen, and He will speak into your life. He can't be confused with the voice of an entertainer. He can't be confused with the voice of a man. He cannot be confused with the voice of a politician. It is the voice of God, and when He speaks, there is thunder. It thunders with power, with the power of heaven itself. When God speaks, all other powers and authorities are to bow down. And the Holy Ghost speaks in that room, and the Holy Ghost says, put your hands on Paul and on Barnabas, and you anoint them, and you pray with power, and you pray with authority. I've got broader horizons. I've got bigger things to do in the kingdom. Anoint them. I will empower them. So I believe it was like power in the upper room. The Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work where I have called them. Separate them. I have to pull you. Listen, this may just go right by you, and it doesn't impact you. But if you're in the room and God's speaking to you, God said, I've got to pull you away. Not people, not the church, some things, maybe some worldly people. You can't keep going with them and still expect to go with me. Separate them. You can't keep talking like everybody else is talking and expect me to talk to you. I don't do it. Be clear. I don't think a little bad word will send you to hell. I don't think some mess ups in your communication skills every now and then in your speech will send you to hell. But I believe if God calls you to clean it up, you need to clean it up. And I want to tell you this too. I know some people, they speak so negatively all the time, it's worse than any curse word they could ever say. You might as well go ahead and let it rip, Tater Chip, because you're not. can't look for the thrills of the world and expect the thrill of the Holy Ghost to share equal billing in your life. Simplistic. Separate them. And the word said they were sent by the Holy Ghost. You've got to be so separate that you can't even brag about being separate. We've got to be careful, folks. I mean, I'm not saying everything has to be super spiritual, but we need to measure well. I won't tell you the name. I caught a little clip of a very popular speaker in our culture today in churchdom in the kingdom. And I mean, they were screaming and they were yelling and back and forth. And I almost felt the opposite of a godly spirit. I'm not telling you to judge people. I'm telling you, though, that we need to be so separate that we don't brag about being separate. We simply find a prayer closet and we get along with God and we seek His face until He speaks to us. Amen? You'll hear the same Paul say things like this: "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Like, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And light with darkness? Some things like this: "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate." Where I'm sending you or what I'm sending you into is not a place for the weak or the anemic. Do you hear me? I cannot send the fearful there. I cannot send the distracted there. I cannot send the self-absorbed there. I've got to send someone who has heard the Holy Ghost speak and felt the Holy Ghost move and has the power that the Holy Ghost has in their life. I want to make it clear. The Holy Ghost will set you up, Darnell. Will allow you to move in ways that the enemy cannot see. Our God is a stealth God, Stephen Rizzo. I believe that He is able to set you up and empower you and empower us and move in us in ways the enemy doesn't even see it coming. And He blinds the eyes of the enemy and He dulls the ears of the enemy. Our God is a stealth God. You're sitting out there today and you think, God can't do this for me. God can't turn this around. It'll never happen. I'm praying over those sons and I'm praying over those daughters today. I believe that God will bring them back. I believe that God will save them. I believe that, oh God, please let it happen. Don't ever discount the value of what God sent you to do. There are some encounters you're going to have in life. They will not always be pleasant. They will not always be easy, and they will not always be convenient. In verses 6 through 8, the power of the gospel invades the island of Cyprus, and Paul and Barnabas are now in the city of Paphos. And the Holy Spirit has a target there. And his name is Sergius Paulus. He is the proconsul, the governor deputy appointed by the Senate of Rome. It is vital. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. One sentence, really. Cyprus will become the first country in the known world to be governed by a Christian ruler. You say it can't happen, Pastor. God can't give us one more last day outpouring, one more last day sending and anointing and move of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there is a room for a first in your life. And it may be you're the first to do this or the first to do that, but God's hand is on your life. You can break spells. You can break curses. You can break the authority and the power of the enemy, because there is one greater who works on the inside of you. What if God calls you to some first in your family? Where's Noah? Is Noah still in here? Where's Noah? Come here. I don't know whose that is. I don't know a lot about your past. I don't know a lot about your situations. But you've not been cursed to follow in whatever negative footsteps that may have preceded you. But there's something God has called you to do that are first, not only in your life, but in the life of your family. Don't you listen to the voice of the enemy. Don't you listen to the powers of it. That voice is a strong voice. It is a calculated voice, a conniving voice, a voice of deception. But there is a voice today of unity and power, even as in the upper room, where he is joining every circumstance of your life to bring glory to the power of God that resides in you and on you. Stand with me all over this house. Let not, says the Lord, let not others determine your value. Let not others determine your call in my kingdom. For today I tell you that I have called you and empowered you. I have anointed you for service. I have anointed you as a part of my church and my kingdom. And this day, I am calling you to separate yourself and make yourself holy, and I will establish a first in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Sergius Paulus. You don't think details matter? Sergius Paulus is probably the most educated man on the island. He's very gifted in leadership. And don't you think it's more than just circumstance and ironic that one of the two men sent to lead him into a relationship with Jesus is Paul of Tarsus, one of the most educated men on the planet? God, the devil's not in the details. God's in the details. God's in the details. God's working. And the word says that there's a sorcerer there by the name of Elymas. And that Elymas, it specifically says, seeks to keep the gospel from his master, Sergius Paulus. That he does not want the word of Jesus Christ to empower his life. That Paul and Barnabas are there, and he's stirring up this sorcery and stirring up these incantations and all of this magic. And the word says that Paul looks him in the eye and points his finger, and he said, listen, paraphrasing, you won't stop this work. He says, as a matter of fact, you'll be blind for 3 days. Isn't it funny how, as an educated man, Paul can speak into the life of Sergius Paulus, but that he can speak blindness into a reprobate, into a man that represents the enemy, blindness just like he experienced when he was in some of those same conditions on the road to Damascus, and God met him there. These are not circumstances. This word comes alive, folks, I'm telling you. This word is alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can reach you, change you, and change circumstances in your life. Elymas had another name. That other name was Bar-Jesus. You know what it means? Son of Jesus. This caught my attention heavy. God is speaking. And I'm telling you today, it doesn't matter what the world has called you and what the enemy has tried to put in your way. God has given you another name. God has given you another name, another destiny, and there's a calling on your life to do something for the kingdom. Sometimes you've got to be willing to step out of Antioch of Syria. Sometimes you've got to be willing to step into the will of God and the call of God and the plan of God. That doesn't mean you have to go to another church or you necessarily have to start pastoring tomorrow. Just work in the kingdom that God has given you. Simple things. We need help in this church. Some say, Pastor, you need help. I get it. But we need help. I'm seeing people tie some things together. Stephen has a passion and a burden for brass and just the work through music, and he's doing some things there to tie some things together. I'm watching Lisa, I'm watching her walk in, and she's here every time the doors are open. And I see the favor of God on her life. I see the power of God in her life and her desire to live for the Lord. I want you to tie others to the kingdom. I could call so many by name this morning and reflect on what you're doing and what you've done. But I know today I'm speaking to some in this house. You've got gifts and talents and abilities, and you're just sitting there. And you say, well, I know you know, Pastor. Why didn't you call me? You think I know? I don't always know. And you've got to be discerning. Somebody that can't sing a note may come and say, Pastor, I've been called to sing solos in your bathroom. Yeah. I love him today, don't you? I want to be obedient to his call on my life. Do something for the... If there's a gift to teach, teach. I've told the Wednesday night group time and again, there are no egos here. If you can raise up a group in one of these vacant rooms on one of these hallways and do a life group on Wednesday night, come do it. Make sure you talk to us. Make sure we know about it. That we can guide you through the steps. We want to make sure you are equipped to teach. But there are things that we can do together to make the kingdom. We need help. I know you don't like this. We need a few people that will help keep our kids. Right now, Kelly is coming on, and we're not too good to do anything. She's here on every Thursday night. She's keeping kids while they rehearse. Sunday mornings, Jeremy needs help. Pastor Philip needs help. There is something you can do. You may not get a lot of glory or think you get a lot of glory from me or from the board or this one or that one, but God's watching. Serve the kingdom. Build the kingdom. And it just may be there's an anointing on your life and a power on your life where God's called you to Cyprus and he's called you to influential people and you can help lead them to the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I ask you today that you will restore to us the burden of Scripture, the burden of the Word. We may have differing opinions. We may have things that we just don't, every little thing we may, but God, you have created us uniquely as individuals for your kingdom, with abilities to impact our culture, to impact our families, to impact those closest to us. And I pray today that you would, there may be someone in this room today that's been called to change the world. And I pray, God, that they will hear you and they will not turn away from your voice, but If you're calling them today, that God, they would be obedient to you and they would respond to your calling upon their lives. And that you would strengthen them and help them move in their lives. Look at me and listen. If we have any kind of anointing at all, the devil's worst will still never compare to God's best if we'll listen to him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did you know that the term wimp is not just a TV term it stands for a weakly interacting massive particle. It is the main component of dark matter which cannot absorb or emit any kind of light at all. Can't take it in, can't shine it out. Don't be a wimp this morning. Be who God called you to be and impact his kingdom. Father, if there's anyone in the house today that does not know you, I pray that right now they would simply invite Jesus into their lives. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you're the Son of God and that I'm a sinner that can be saved by grace. And even now, I believe that you're washing every sin away, making me whole, making me complete, and giving joy into my life instead of sorrow. I pray today, God, that confession would be made. Jesus would be Lord in that life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I love you, God. Thankful today.
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.